Could a poltergeist also haunt tiny houses, like a dollhouse or Lego house? Should drinking and driving be referred to as traveling at the speed Bud Light? All of these questions you can find the answer to on this Paranormal Life! Thanks for joining for life, buddy. You missed out on the first couple words, but yeah, you made it for that. Welcome back to This Paranormal Life, the comedy paranormal podcast where every week we investigate a brand new paranormal case and come to a conclusion at the end to decide whether or not we believe it truly is paranormal. Kit, are you ready to dive into the weird world of monsters, cryptids, and UFOs?
Yeah, I did come in late in the intro. I thought it was a joke intro. I was like, oh, he's really doing this. All right, let's go. No. Let's go.
No, well, just traveling at the speed Bud Light.
I was actually hung up on the haunted houses.
Oh, right.
You know, because I think it's a real question. Haunted houses, very common thing. But what about the haunted house of Mouse? That's right, Disneyland.
Yes.
Could a prop house, they do have a haunted house, of course.
Yeah.
Is it really haunted? Has someone been crushed to death in the kind of gears and levers of the thing over the last 100 years?
I think we've covered it on the podcast before and we found out, yes, it has.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, glad that one stuck with you after all these years.
Well, you know, when you've been traveling at the speed Bud Light through life as I have, you forget a couple things.
You do. And when the officer pulls you over and asks if you've been drinking tonight, you say, of course.
Also, don't
go.
Don't bring up beer. All right, because minutes before we hit record, I said, I'm really struggling to not drink a beer for this podcast recording.
Should we have a beer? Should we just have a beer?
Yeah, probably.
There are no, technically having a beer at 9 a.m., which is the moment of recording this, isn't illegal. It's a little strange. It's a little strange, sure, but.
It's not illegal yet because we do have to drive in 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
And
what speed do we have to go? Bud Light?
But it's only illegal once you've done the driving. It's actually completely legal to drink up until you enter behind the wheel of a car.
I don't think that's absolutely not right. It's no, your blood alcohol percentage.
This portion is,
this portion is legal. This portion is fine.
Because drinking and driving bad. Drinking.
Phil, get the beers.
Legal.
Phil, can we get the beers? Do you want a beer? I think it's only fine we have a beer.
Let's do one.
Phil, would you also like a beer?
I would.
Okay.
I would.
Three beers, please, Phil.
We are having a crazy day.
But we are having a wild day.
Might as well talk about it now.
Kid got retweeted by a porn star.
That was what I was referring to.
Oh, right. Yeah, sorry, the award nominations. Well, I mean, I figure we start with the craziest thing and then work down. But
yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. Mia Khalifa did respond to one of my tweets.
And we've heard that she is an adult entertainer.
I don't know
that myself. I have no prior knowledge.
Thank you, Phil. Thanks,
thanks
very much.
Thanks, Phil.
So she did reply. She doesn't follow me, I'll be clear. We're not that baller. But that wasn't what I was talking about. No, what else is the news?
We just got a delivery for my Nintendo Switch 2. Right here. Literally right before we started podcasting. My Nintendo
Why
Switch 2
Why did you get it delivered
arrived.
To the office? So distracting.
Because I knew I was going to... Oh, shit. Did I just... No, I thought I just showed our address and everything on the thing. That's fine. Don't look at that.
Like, why do it? Like, we're so close to the end. You could have got it delivered to your place. Anyway.
I needed it now.
Can you please get to the good news?
Right. Other good news. It's been a wild day. We just got nominated for 3 British Podcast Awards.
Oh my God. Hey, woo! I think we can crack one to that.
Yeah, the boys have earned a couple cold ones.
Oh,
all right.
Here we go.
Nominated.
Cheers to that, Slancha, my brother.
Cheers, Slancha. Slantro. Mm-mm. Today's case is actually a listener submission that came from 2 individuals over the years.
So why'd you hold up one finger?
I'll hold up 2 fingers right now if you want.
God. He's had one sip of beer. You know the way people have got f*** you money? Rory got a Nintendo Switch 2 and started telling everyone to go f*** themselves. It was really weird.
We got a submission from Vincent Vicario and later from Elizabeth Curl. Elizabeth wrote, "Hello Kit and Rory, longtime listener here. I have a great podcast suggestion that I think you might find quite interesting. The story goes that there were a series of UFO sightings witnessed by over 200 people and were even photographed by a man named Ed Walters."
Wow.
You know that we love 200 plus witnesses on this podcast, and we also love photographic evidence.
Yeah, this is a lot of good keywords.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to do today. We are going to investigate Ed Walters and the Gulf Breeze UFO incident.
And remember, UK and Ireland listeners, we are coming to a city near you. At the time of recording, we are wrapping up our US tour, probably. But we are coming to Glasgow, Manchester, London and Dublin for the first time this October for Halloween. It's going to be so much fun. So thisparanormallife.com/tour.
Get your tickets now. Our story today begins way back in 1987 in the sleepy coastal city of Gulf Breeze, Florida. It was late one November evening, and local contractor Ed Walters was home alone, working in his study. He stretched in his chair, leaning backwards and glancing out of his office window. And that's when he spotted something. Out in the fading light of the evening sky was a strange hovering object. He said it looked like some kind of yellow-orange glowing light. Now, usually if you see a yellow-orange ball in the sky around sunset, you're kind of fine. That's pretty normal. But something about this object sent chills down Ed's spine. He stumbled outside into his driveway to try and get a closer look at whatever this thing was. And that wasn't hard, because by now, this thing was only around 200 feet away from him.
Yeah, that is the thing about lights, is the distance is utterly crucial. Because the sun, we all love it. Really yeah. Great for life on Earth. At a safe distance
sure.
of several kind of trillion light years away or wherever it is. If it were 200 meters away, from what I gather from scientists, we would all be annihilated instantly.
Yes, completely decimated.
Similar vibes here. Light from a safe distance, fine. Light gets any closer than that, we start to get uncomfortable, we start to get nervous. Are we going to be incinerated?
Also, the number of lights matter. You know, for example, if you see a firefly, just one floating around, that's pretty nice. It's pretty chill. But you would not believe your eyes if 10 million fireflies lit up the world as you fell to sleep.
You fell to sleep?
Fell to sleep. Sorry, the beer's kicking in. Even through the bright light, Ed could make out the object in great detail. It had a dome shape with several portholes around its center. He watched in awe as it floated through the sky in front of him without making a sound. Knowing that no one would believe his story, Ed rushed inside and grabbed his Polaroid camera. He managed to take 5 photos of the UFO before a mysterious blue light shot out of the bottom of the object, hitting him in the chest.
Jesus, man.
Whatever this thing was, it was pulling him towards the craft.
It's a tractor beam. We've got a classic sci-fi tractor beam, guys.
Until he finally managed to wrestle free. Then the object took off, disappearing into the distance in complete silence.
Do you think tractor beams are like currents in the ocean? Not raisins, currents in the ocean.
Right.
You know, they say it's really scary and panicky whenever you get caught in the ocean and it's dragging you out. But they always say, keep calm. Don't try and just mindlessly swim in. They say, swim to the side.
The side, yeah.
It's like Indiana Jones getting chased by the boulder. It's like, brother, stand aside. Like, you're not going to win this battle of trying to outrun the giant boulder.
Yeah, I think in Indy's defense, he's in a corridor. I don't know if there's
just
necessarily anywhere to
into the make yourself as stand. Little as possible. Anyway,
but it's a bit like being. It's a little like a finger trap, one of those old finger traps. You have to move towards each other to be able
don't
to pull away.
Don't try and out metaphor my metaphor. Come on. Yes, you are right. They say to relax, I guess.
Yes.
With the finger trap.
So maybe you got to go with the flow and then you can kind of peel off.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't say go with the flow.
Go with the flow,
but
maybe.
I'm saying just you know, like...
Go with the probe.
Just,
isn't that what they
roll
say?
Roll to the side. Just roll to the side. Try roll out of the way of the tractor beam.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Stop, drop, and roll.
And hope you don't get drop, trow, and probed. Kit, would you like to see the photo?
Yeah, Jesus, I'm burying the lead. I forgot about this.
That's right. We have photos of this thing.
I'm worried. Polaroid.
Yeah, 1987. It's an old photo. I won't lie.
Yeah, but this is very believable. We're always wondering like what cameras were close to hand, but this is very believable. A lot of people had Polaroid cameras. I'm only worried because they're kind of they're a beautiful format, but it's kind of low resolution. I'm starting to fill in the blanks in my head of what this might look like.
Hey, all I'm gonna say is hold on to your nipples,
okay?
Because I'm about to blow them off your body.
Let's go.
Check this out.
This is a dusky night sky, lovely deep blue, but still light enough that there's some ambient light. You can. What are you doing?
What? Nothing.
You're trying to open the box with the Nintendo Switch.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Just
you
keep,
are.
Tell them about the photo.
You're both your. You can clearly see in the video. Both his hands are off to one side.
I just.
You can't. It's too loud. It's too loud. You can't do this in the podcast. Come
okay,
on.
Fine. All right. All right, I've put it down.
You haven't. Your hands are just exactly where they were.
I just like to sit like this sometimes.
No, you don't. I can look. I just looked under the table. He's got the box. He's got the box from Amazon.
I'm not opening it. I'm just holding it.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Sorry, I had a little cough there. Tell the people that it's a good photo. I need you to say that on the record.
It is a good photo. I was in the middle of doing it, and then you interrupted me with your opening the box. Beautiful night sky. I'm just saying there's enough ambient light that we can actually see the lights floating in the sky and then kind of a little bit of ambient light around the rest of the craft itself. This isn't like a singular light in just a sea of blackness. No, we can actually make out pretty much the whole shape of the craft.
You can see the portholes. This is a very detailed photo of a UFO, I would say.
Yeah, it is cool. It is cool.
And that's only one of them. I actually have another photo.
Yeah, I know, because I saw the three Instagram dots at the bottom of the screenshot. I know there's another photo. Two more, in fact.
I only have one more. I have one more here, closer up, that actually shows the blue light coming down from the craft as well. Look at this.
This is right as he was about to get smoked. What? Why is it so close up?
Maybe he took that as it was going away. I don't know. This is punched in, obviously.
Punched in, I guess.
Yeah.
Punched in. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought it was coming out of the... But you expect it to come out of the bottom because of movies. But actually, the tractor beam's coming out of the top. There's like a little laser cannon.
Crazy,
at the top,
huh?
I guess. I mean, this is very detailed. Look, we are... I'm just going to say it. We are into very real UFO shit, or we are into elaborate hoax areas. This is not some gray area of, was this a bird? Was this a plane? No. This is hoax or 100% real.
That's a really good point. Well, Ed knew that he had to show someone the photos that he'd taken. So 5 days later, he decided to take them to the editor of the Gulf Breeze Sentinel, Dwayne Cook. However, Dwayne was less than enthusiastic about printing the photos in the newspaper.
Listen, Ed, I love your story. I really do. I'm just not sure this is the sort of thing we would typically cover. Have you tried the tabloids? Or maybe you could start your own newspaper with pictures and everything.
Oh, forget it. If you won't take this case seriously, I'll find someone who will. He stormed out of the office, leaving the copies of his UFO photos behind. Now, Ed didn't know it, but later that afternoon, someone who would appreciate his photos arrived at Dwayne's office. And in a strange turn of events, it was Dwayne's parents, who were swinging by to pick him up on the way to lunch.
Morning, sport. You ready for a bit of lunch?
Sure, Pa. Let me finish this article.
Oh, what's the big news this week? Cat stuck up a tree? Another pervert stalking around the local?
His voice trailed off as he spotted Ed's photos spread across the desk.
Where did you... Who gave these to you?
It was some guy. Ed Walters. What's wrong, Pa?
This craft. Your mother and I saw the same one just a few nights ago.
That's right! Dwayne's own parents claimed that they had seen the same UFO in the sky along with several other witnesses. They saw everything. The lights, the portholes, and even the lighted dome on top and bottom. With the additional testimony from his parents, Dwayne changed his mind, and on November 19th, Ed's pictures were published in the Gulf Breeze Sentinel under the headline, UFO Sighted Over Gulf Breeze.
I'm gonna go out on a leg and say, this is a good decision.
Yeah.
Is it a good decision for kind of covering the most important topics that face a community? No. But I think people will enjoy this kind of story. I think that's the reason we put these things in tabloids, right? It's kind of interesting and fun and probably sold a couple papers.
Yeah, I think Dwayne was just worried because his paper maybe has a certain level of prestige or legitness that he thought maybe a story this fantastical might jeopardize its reputation.
Well, we've seen that play out in modern media over the last couple of years as there's been congressional hearings about UFOs and things. Finally, all the kind of most respectable papers that have been holding out and covering paranormal news for years and years and years are finally talking about UFOs. fill in the blank, New York Times, The New Yorker, or whatever.
Yeah, but they're even talking about like the congressional hearings about it. They're not like, look at this one.
No.
This one's nuts.
It is true. But even covering the hearings themselves or the witnesses would have been considered laughable only 5 or 6 years ago.
It's very true. It's very true. I only hope that one day the papers will be brave enough to run the headline, Boy Seized Gorilla Man in Dublin. This was the beginning of the events that went on to rock this small city. After the photos were released, reports of UFOs in Gulf Breeze became an almost daily occurrence, and Duane's newspaper became the number one source for UFO reports. Over the next 6 months, 135 people in Gulf Breeze reported 80 different sightings.
Jeez, that is a lot, yeah.
It is. There's honestly so many that we only have time to talk about a handful of them today. So let's dive in.
No, I insist. All 80. I think he's trying to like wrap it up because he wants to play Nintendo Switch 2.
That's not true.
We got to do all 80. I think we do if we're going to be diligent here. I think we got to. Let's just pull an all-nighter, brother. Let's do our first ever six-hour podcast.
I just think we would probably run out of beer at some point, so...
Yeah, well, we got probably... quite a bit. I did a beer run yesterday. We got a decent amount. Stop opening the box. Stop opening the box. I can hear it. I can see it.
Just
I can see both
see...
your hands. Come on! Stop it!
To get a little look at him.
All right. No one, what this is turning into an unbox therapy style unboxing video. We don't, what is this? Lou Later? What is this? Marques Brownlee?
I don't know who those people
These are.
Are those
YouTubers.
Paranormal investigators?
Don't tell me you don't know who Marques Brownlee is, all right?
On the morning of November 11th, a resident named Jeff Thompson claimed to witness a UFO being followed by two military jets. The following day at around 2 a.m., Billy Zammit jolted awake by the loud barks of her dog in the backyard. When she went out to check on him, she witnessed a round, orange/yellow object shooting a blue light down onto her dock. She said she was so afraid, she grabbed her dog and ran back inside.
Wow.
And there's more. Another Gulf Breeze resident named Scott Zepp claimed that he spotted a UFO floating in the sky, traveling at about 5 miles per hour, also known as the speed Bud Light.
Yeah, it's incredibly slow. Yeah, that's the speed you travel when you've had too many and you're seeing double and you're like, I gotta really just crawl home.
Yeah, because I'm going 55. You're going 5. You're seeing it twice.
I've never drunk and drove, by the way. Don't do that.
Neither have I.
Don't do that. I think the only thing it's legal to pilot drunk is a boat.
That's absolutely not true.
I feel like you can pilot drunk.
I bet there's a weird one, like a forklift or something.
I feel like you could technically get wasted and take a forklift home. No.
Yeah, that's what they
I
say.
I feel like boats, they had to do a carve out because it was like, they were like, oh yeah, you probably shouldn't be able to drink and drive. And then pirates were like, I think we need to take a look at that. And they're like, yeah, okay, fine. Pirates can drink rum. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's only rum. You can get blasted on rum.
Yeah. It's for ceremonial use only.
Right, well, what's the special occasion today? Me Nintendo Switch 2 arrived at the port. Denise Boone and her daughters saw a UFO spinning just above a tree line. The Santa Rosa County Commissioner, John Broxton, said that he saw, quote, a parade of multicolored lights in the sky before they flew quickly out of sight. This is just a handful of examples of the UFO sightings that are taking place in the wake of this big reveal. Things got so intense that local residents began organizing UFO search parties. But despite this strange object appearing in front of over 100 different residents, there was one Gulf Breeze local that it seemed interested in the most. The man who originally saw the craft, Ed Walters.
The one who got away.
In fact, from November 1987 to May 1988, Ed took 37 different pictures of the same UFO.
What?
Whatever this thing was, it had a strange obsession with him. Ed claimed that every time the UFO was about to appear, he experienced a strange buzzing or humming in his head.
Huh.
I think maybe his theory there is that at some point, maybe he got a little implant. That's being activated. Like, they slipped an air tag behind his cranium. Mm. And this thing is going off anytime they're nearby.
This is a UFO trope, an abduction trope. that people discover small markings on their body. They spy some sort of subtle biological kind of remnant of their interaction, their close encounter, which leads them to believe they might have been marked somehow or tracked. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but all of these sightings were only building to his most dramatic encounter yet. At around 3 a.m., December 2nd, just like Billy Zammit, Ed was awoken by his dog barking outside.
Ugh, poor old guy's just probably caught another raccoon.
When Ed leaned up in his bed, he claimed he locked eyes with a figure peeking in at him through his sliding glass doors.
Ew.
The figure was dressed in a strange metallic suit and helmet and was holding a glowing wand.
What?
Yeah.
Intergalactic wizards.
As soon as he noticed Ed was awake, he turned and began running from the house. But Ed leapt out of bed and chased him outside into the dark. As soon as Ed reached his backyard, he was once again immobilized by a beam of blue light from the bottom of the UFO. He claims the light lifted him 3 feet off the ground before letting him go and dropping him back down to Earth.
Wow.
Pretty crazy stuff.
What's the idea? What is this tractor beam doing? So we thought it was to abduct him and that he got away. Seems not the case. Seems like it might be doing something else.
Dude, I don't know. These little f***ers are wizards too. I really don't know what's going on here. Whatever it is, they have a strange obsession with Ed. And look, Kit, I know that photos aren't enough to get a double yes on the podcast these days. While I don't have a picture of the glowing wand, that would be pretty cool. On one occasion, Ed did manage to get a video of the UFO in daylight. All right, take a look at this.
UFO hotspot, Gulf Breeze, Florida, 1993. This rare UFO video sequence was shot by alleged alien contactee Ed Walters. After panning the entire horizon, a small disc-shaped object appeared overhead, where just before there had been nothing. Then it suddenly disappeared. Could this be a true alien encounter? Or the product of an elaborate hoax?
Well, I don't know why I wasn't expecting broad daylight.
Yeah, he's on a beach.
He's on a gorgeous white sand beach.
Yeah. Usually UFO sightings are a little creepier than this.
Yeah, but I guess this is possible. And yeah, I mean, he has some pretty rudimentary, I mean, this is the mid to early 90s. So we're dealing with pretty basic, probably kind of mini tape cameras. He's doing a kind of almost digital zoom into the sky to see a small orb. And it is kind of convincing looking. It looks cool.
And they are right. It just kind of blinks and then disappears. 1 second is there, then it's not.
And
that's that wizard wand kicking in. Abracadabra, and the craft disappears. I think it's just cool they wanted a beach day. They're just like, look, we're sick of everyone coming down at night and like abducting farmers in the middle of Texas. We want to go to Florida. We want to go to the beach. Maybe we want to go to the club. I have a wand that can make cocaine. So I think we're going to have a really good time.
Yeah. What's the draw to Florida? Do you think the aliens somehow benefit from the liberal taxation laws?
Hey, I'll tell you what. Because I Googled where Gulf Breeze is. I had no idea Florida was that long. I thought it was the nub. I thought it was like the little nub, but it goes
if you zoom out, it's the nub. Yeah.
It goes way in.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, that kind of blew me away a little bit. I didn't realize it went that far. Now, we're not the first investigators to dive into this story. Optical physicist for the U.S. Navy, Dr. Bruce Maccabee, visited Ed in February of 1988. He examined the pictures and even spent 3 days interviewing Ed, later publishing a 90-page report on the case. Ed even took 2 polygraph tests and passed both of them. The examiner concluded that Ed believes his pictures are real. Whether or not that means they are real, that's to be decided.
Polygraph test now being the lie detector test. A test which is, I think, currently inadmissible in probably any court on earth for being unscientific. But at one point, it was considered important.
Well, the guy that said that we need to stop doing it because it doesn't work, did anyone test him?
Yeah.
That's the real twist. Ed also submitted himself to psychological testing, and the psychologist determined that he was quote-unquote normal.
Well, that is the best you can hope for a man from Florida.
So a lot of this sounds good. You know, we've got everything we need here. photo evidence,
sure,
video evidence, an investigation by real paranormal investigators who do believe that what he's saying he at least believes is true. I wish we could stop here. I would kill to be able to stop here.
Oh.
But our story, unfortunately, is not over.
All right. You're telling me I'm going to start to live to regret some of the charitable things I've been saying about this episode?
Because I'm just saying.
Because you've done this before.
Yeah.
You've done this before. You're kind of like, hey, look at this evidence. I'm like, that's actually not bad. This is pretty. And you just remain completely silent while I dig a hole for myself.
You know, I just think maybe we do a fun thing where it's like, hypothetically, if we had to conclude now, what would the conclusion be?
Keep reading.
I guess maybe I'd be a yes, because this all sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's a fun idea. Keep reading, though. Okay. Keep reading for sure. I'm going to start opening up Nintendo Switch 2 in a second, if this case gets any worse.
I just want everyone listening to just remember, just enjoy what we've heard so far. That's what I'll say. Hey, everyone loves Lucky Charms, the delicious sugary marshmallow cereal.
Is this a great analogy?
Yum, 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 yum. Yeah. Lucky Charms, Lucky Charms. I love the marshmallows, and sometimes I accidentally eat the rest of it. But what happens after all the marshmallows are gone? You got a bowl of soggy brown and some very sweet milk.
I've never eaten the cereal.
It's unbelievable. It's so good. That's why I had to move countries to get away from it.
Sounds terrible. You're saying it's bad.
I'm saying half of it is bad.
Yeah.
And right now, we're entering soggy brown territory.
Okay, got it.
That's all I'm going to say. So I hope you enjoyed your marshmallows.
That's the B-side to Golden Brown.
In December of 1988, Ed and his family moved out of their home in Gulf Breeze. 10 months later, the house was purchased by Bob and Sarah Lee Menzer, who were completely unaware of Ed and his UFO encounters. 4 months after they moved in, Bob was exploring the attic and discovered a bizarre object hidden in a forgotten corner. It was a styrofoam model of a UFO. So, you
mercy.
Know, there's a lot to take
mercy.
From this. You know, did Ed, obsession, try and recreate what he saw that night?
Yeah.
That would have been a really good excuse in hindsight. I'm sure he wished he thought of that one. Now, Bob, the new homeowner, had no idea what he was looking at, so he put it on the garage shelf and forgot about it. But 2 months later, a news journalist visited the home, hoping to find more answers about Ed and his wild claims. The new residents told him about the model that they'd found in the attic. And a week later, on June 10th, a new story was published. Gulf Breeze UFO hoax. This story threw the entire city of Gulf Breeze into an uproar. In the wake of the new model's discovery, Ed refused to take a polygraph test. But he did sign a sworn statement denying any knowledge of the model.
And we commend him for that.
It's like, listen, I'm too scared to do the polygraph, but I will pinky promise. I don't know what that thing is.
Yeah. Hey, look, this is just a guy ahead of his time. Scam artists back in the 80s, back in the 90s, maligned by society, distrusted by all. If this guy was around today, he would be celebrated by the internet.
Yeah, he'd have a store on Etsy.
Yeah.
He'd be selling these things.
100%.
When interviewed about the model, Ed claimed that it's, quote, a total fabrication planted in his attic by someone to discredit him and the other witnesses.
Yeah, that's convenient.
Yeah. I think at one point he says he even saw people break into the house and put it there.
Because that's typically what the CIA would do, you know, is like be undercover agents and move into a house for like a year.
Yeah.
And then just kind of wonder, and then not even contact the press, just wait for the press to kind of turn up. And be like, hey, can we have a look in your house? And you're like, yeah, sure. I found this here. And then that's the evidence you planted.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's a long con to just move into a house.
Slightly. I think there's more efficient ways that you could do a kind of psyop that way.
Now, this whole thing obviously wasn't a good look for Ed. And unfortunately, things weren't going to get any better. 1 week after the article came out, another resident and friend of Ed's family, 20-year-old Tommy Smith, came forward and basically said, yeah, I helped Ed hoax a bunch of UFO photos.
Okay. What did Ed have to say about that? What was the defense there? Because his story's been straight, right? And he passed the polygraph test and he signed the written statement saying that he hadn't hoaxed it.
Yep.
So I bet he has a real awesome reason for this guy to be saying he helped him.
I think when asked, Ed basically responded, he's a liar.
Yeah.
I think that was, it was kind of as simple as that. I don't know why he's saying this. He's a liar. But not only this, there in one story where Ed claimed a UFO landed near his house, leaving an impression on the ground, Tommy said that he and Ed turned a trampoline upside down and jumped on it to create an impression on the ground.
Why? Why come clean? That's what I'll say. Like, if you're going to go to the bother of performing a hoax, which I will say, we've been harsh on hoaxers before.
Sure.
We've said,
as fellow conmen, we should appreciate the grift.
Yeah, and like,
I stole this Switch from a child. Really? You need to know that now.
You intercepted the delivery.
Yeah.
Because, sure, is it easy to say that hoaxers are polluting the muddy waters of the paranormal, making it ever more increasingly difficult to tell fact from fiction in this world of the supernatural, pushing people like us further into the shadows of ostracization of society? Yes. But you know who else is a hoaxer? The guy dressed as Mickey Mouse at Disneyland. But guess what? He creates magical memories every day when little boys and little girls want to have their photo taken, because they create a little moment of magic in which everyone gets to believe in something for once. So Tommy spends all his time going around making indentations as if a UFO craft landed, gets the world to believe it, gets Florida to believe it. Tommy, keep it a secret.
Die with it, buddy.
Yeah, take it to the grave.
Bury it up.
What does he have to gain from spilling the beans?
It also seems like everyone more or less believed it. I guess maybe when they found the styrofoam model in the attic, maybe little Tommy here is just like, it's like when people in the mafia start getting picked up. He's like, they're going to get us.
Yeah.
If I go to them, maybe I can cut a deal. Yeah. You know, and I think that might have been what happened.
Police are like, Tommy, it's styrofoam. We don't give a fuck. Do you know the level of cocaine trafficking? This is Florida in the 80s. We don't give a shit about a UFO hoax. He's like, I just know they're going to knock down my door any day now.
He enters the police station and just kneels in the middle of all the tables with his hands behind his head. That's right, I did it! A police officer beside him is like, you did it? The triple homicide on Jones Street?
Whoa, no.
Shit, oh God, oh God.
I don't know anything about that.
Break his legs so he can't run away. No!
This is why, we've promoted drink driving on this episode. We've promoted lying to federal agents.
Yep. Can you tell this one's coming out after Kit got his US visa?
It's just, we've been holding back a lot of material for the last few months.
This is satire. I think legally we have to say this is a podcast.
Yeah,
is satire.
This is satire.
We're playing characters. This is all scripted. Character.
That's so true. I'm just saying it's contextual. You know, if you committed a murder, do come clean about that.
Yes.
Come clean about real crime.
Yes.
I'm just saying it's a fun little silly harmless crime.
Fun little silly harmless crimes. Joke crimes.
Yeah.
Exactly, which is happening right there. Like, I didn't obviously steal my Nintendo Switch.
Joke crime.
I didn't steal it from a kid.
Yeah.
I stole it from an adult single mother, which is a totally different thing, and it's fine.
Who has a kid,
but the kid didn't even know. I stole it so fast, the kid didn't even know it was going to get one.
Yeah.
It's a victimless crime.
He's going to wake up at his birthday and get nothing, you know, but like, he didn't know he was going to get the Switch.
Something.
So, you know.
Exactly, yeah. So it's fine. Listen, I know this isn't looking good for Ed right now.
It's not. I'm loading the gun to put this case out of his misery, by the way.
I've also neglected to tell you about some of Ed's more dramatic claims about his UFO encounters.
Mm-hmm.
Just to run through a couple of them. There's one where he says he was zapped by a white light while driving in his car that numbed his hands and almost made him crash off the road.
Okay.
There's one of them. The UFO then beamed down 5 aliens that were 4 feet tall and all carrying glowing silver wands.
Yep. Harder to believe, absolutely.
He also claims the aliens communicated with him telepathically, in English and in Spanish. They referred to him as Zijas.
I'm not fluent in Spanish, I don't know what that means.
I don't know what Zijas means.
But hey, we're in Florida, okay? Yeah. That is a bilingual state in some places.
Yeah.
Spanish is the first language. So
what is Zijas in Spanish?
I think they were just being good tourists, honestly. They did their Duolingo. They sat their gray asses down and listened to Duolingo.
That's a really good point. I don't think Zihas is a real word.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
It translates into English as Zihas, but maybe it was like as part of a sentence and they were saying it with like a German accent, like, tonight we're going to rock Zihas.
Yeah.
You know, that could have been it. Although one of the many messages he received included, las fotos son prohibidas, which is Spanish for...
I think we know. I don't think you need to translate. I don't think you need to... I don't want to like patronize our listeners or anything, but like I don't think we sometimes need to translate
they
everything.
They got out their wands and they said, hey, Zihas, las fotos son prohibidas.
Nah.
Which means, Zihas, photographs are not permitted. In another encounter, Ed claims that he lost consciousness after a UFO sighting and woke up with mysterious bruises that he believes proves he was abducted.
Why is it? Let's just, I'm going to cut you off because
Please do.
I assume you have about 14 more of these.
That's the last one.
What? Okay.
It's the last one. There were more, but I'm not.
Should have done it earlier. We went to Contact in the Desert.
We sure did.
The world's largest UFO conference convention in Indian Wells, California. A great event. A really great event. Really wholesome event. Fascinating stuff. Great talks.
Yeah, don't confuse it with Contact in the D, which is the world's largest adult entertainment convention held in Las Vegas.
Yeah, which we will also be at.
Well, yes, we're going to be there. Yeah, of course. Didn't you hear? Kit got retweeted by Mia Khalifa.
Yeah, so we're kind of adjacent to the community now.
Yeah.
So we've been to like talks, panel discussions with experiencers, people exactly like this.
Yeah.
Who have been abducted, who have their story to tell. I went to a live podcast with Last Podcast on the Left and Whitley Strieber, the famous contactee who wrote Communion, I think he wrote. Really great guy, fascinating guy, tells a great story of being contacted. Why is it some of these people, they don't just get abducted once, but they get abducted 95 times?
Sure. There's a couple theories.
What makes them so special?
I think for a lot of them, they believe that they had an implant put in them, so they're being monitored for some reason and visited over their life.
Because I should say, I'm not saying they're not special, but they're not. They're just not the type of people who say they've...
Yeah, yeah. You know who should be visited by UFOs a lot while they're alive? Sabrina Carpenter.
Justin Bieber. It's like, yeah, sure. I get it. They need to study his vocal cords. Study why he has so much SWAG swag.
Yes. Thanks for spelling that out for me. I was really struggling. Yeah, I mean, we don't know what's impressive to an alien. When they come down, we could be like, well, why aren't they abducting Ryan Gosling?
Yeah.
We think he's pretty cool and hot and he can act in movies. But maybe on their planet, they're like, no, what we think is cool is X, Y, and Z.
We think they should be abducting Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Why can he sink so many threes? But they're like, no, don't you know Ed has a completely unique blood type, the only of its kind in the Milky Way galaxy system. We need to figure out why it originated this way so that we can replicate it in our star system.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Sometimes they're like, some of these guys are the only ones stupid enough to eat the pancakes we give them.
Shout out Alien Pancakes episode.
Great episode. I'm not saying this is the case today, but I do believe some people who claim to have been visited 30 plus times by UFOs want to think they are special. They want to believe that they are chosen by some higher power for some reason.
I didn't think you were going to come out and say it, but yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I think that is pretty much it. Not to say that's what happening.
That's
what happening in this case.
No,
okay.
No.
Because, hey, it is important to note that there are still hundreds of Gulf Breeze residents who insist they have still seen the UFOs that Ed photographed. But of course, could this be a case of mass hysteria mixed with UFO fever? Possibly. We don't know.
It's true. It's true. I will say I was slightly, I'm always interested in the time that these things take place, because you mentioned this was the late 80s, I think this kicked off, didn't you say?
Yep.
Into the 1988. Early, 90s. I will say not a time that I personally associate with a UFO fever, but maybe there was a kind of renewed period of it. Like, I guess this is the era of like X-Files and stuff.
Well, Kit, it's funny you mention X-Files, because if you want to know how famous and notable this case is, it was actually investigated by arguably the world's most famous UFO investigator, FBI Special Agent Fox Mulder from The X-Files.
Yeah.
This case is mentioned by name in the show, like many other real-world paranormal stories. Unfortunately, the quote from the episode is, "When I first saw the Gulf Breeze photos, I knew they were a hoax."
Okay. His first name was Fox?
Yeah, Fox Mulder.
Wow.
I know. What a sexy name.
How did they think they could get away with that?
It's That's nuts. It's unbelievable. Yeah, so unfortunately, the one time that it does appear in quite a reputable piece of paranormal pop culture, they're calling it a hoax too.
Yeah.
The fake show is calling it a hoax.
Yeah, they're using it as the quintessential kind of boilerplate example of a hoax.
So, yes, from as soon as the figure was discovered in the garage, I think embarrassingly, a lot of UFO experts have had to kind of walk back some of their pretty wild conclusions.
Yeah, me. I said the photos looked amazing. I said they looked convincing. I said the video itself was pretty fascinating. It would be hard to hoax at that level.
And yet, I think you said,
Phil, delete it from the pod, for the love of God.
You did say perfectly right at the start, you were like, there's no black and white. We are either dealing with an incredible UFO object or a very convincing hoax.
I did. Maybe that was prescient.
I think today, unfortunately, it's time to go to Kit for conclusions.
It's a no.
Oh, that was fast.
Oh, sorry.
Oh my God, yeah.
It just seemed like, were you not just teeing me up for everything?
No, I was kind of just like, I thought we could enter like...
No.
You know, because we ate the marshmallows, we had the brown mush, drank the milk.
You got to leave the cereal.
We got to put the bowl in the washing machine.
I told
machine.
You, I've not had that cereal.
Lucky Charms?
No, they don't sell it in the UK or Ireland. Why would I have had it?
Because it's magically delicious. We're going on tour. I'm going to buy you a bowl on tour for
British viewers or something. This is like Weetabix, guys. Okay, the Weetabix. Okay, we've sprinkled sugar on top, which has transformed it from a pretty banal kind of a breakfast cereal into something acceptably delicious. But we all know you got to eat it pretty quickly, or else it becomes mush. And then after the mush comes something even worse. You leave it for too long, it becomes concrete.
Yeah.
You're going to need to soak that bowl for 6 to 9 business days in order to be able to put it in the dishwasher and clean it. We are now at the fabric of the case has turned into a concrete that is stuck to the walls of Gulf Breeze.
Still not a... It's
taking the people down with it.
It's not a bad analogy.
It's impossible to scrub the hoax off this little town in order to see the glistening true paranormal stories underneath.
I don't mind it. Hey, let's keep these cereal analogies going.
Okay.
You know, it's almost time for us to say cheerio.
Yeah.
At the end of the podcast. So I don't want to go to any snap decisions.
Yeah.
But let's crackle and pop. That was a real force one, but you know what we're doing here.
Unlike Golden Nuggets, this case is not yeehaw.
Okay. Yeah, you're saying a no. Yeah, it's just hard to make like cereal puns when I'm sad, because you just gave my case a no. So like,
well, tell me what you think. There's no way you believe this.
Yeah. Sorry,
I know you're like coming to terms with like wasting like 2 days of your life by researching this and kind of writing a script.
Yeah, and trying to express it through the metaphor of cereal is quite hard.
You can drop that.
I think if I don't talk in cereal riddles, I'll cry. So
that's fine.
I think I got to keep it up for now. So
let me put it to you this way.
Yeah.
The sooner you conclude, the sooner you can open your Nintendo Switch 2.
It's a no from me this week too.
Great. That's awesome. That's awesome.
It is unfortunately a no. Look, I love this case, but the more you look into it, there are so many red flags. The severity of the stories that Ed continues to tell. The fact they found the f***ing thing in a garage. And instead of, as we said, just... saying, oh yeah, I built that to replicate the one that I saw that night. He says, that was planted by government agents. I've never seen it before. It's not a great look. It really isn't.
Yeah.
But I think this case is a lot of fun. If any case is mentioned by the X-Files, that is, pardon the pun, but that's kind of the Nintendo seal of approval, you know? I'm going to give a quick thank you to Vincent and Elizabeth for suggesting this case. Unfortunately, because it is a double no, you guys are going to be sent to the pit.
The sweets.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I forgot that's what they call them.
The sweets, yeah.
You're going to want to go...
that was a good joke, though. The pit, yeah, like as if we'd have a...
Yeah.
Zarlak-style pit.
No.
With spikes.
No. So you're going to want to...
The sweets.
Follow the signs to the sweets. So it's left down the hall, right through the door, and then straight down 5 miles.
Yeah.
So just, but there's a nice landing down there, and then that's where the sweets are. So.
Yeah, there's like a, it's like a ball pit. It's like a real soft landing.
It's like a ball pit.
Yeah.
And if you change your mind and you don't want to jump into the pit, we hired a guy we called the pusher, and he kind of hangs out by the pit, and he'll make the choice for you.
Unconnected things. The pusher happens to hang out near the pit, but like that's just because
he just likes it there. The nice air conditioning is really good. Yeah, it's really chill in there. See you later, guys. Enjoy that.
So long.
Tell the pusher we said hello. Thank you guys for submitting that case. If you have your own paranormal investigation you want us to dive into, whether it's something that's happened to you or just a cool case that you've read about online, let us know. We want to hear about it. You can email us at thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. I'm just laughing because we recently on the after party, which is one of the cool behind the scenes shows that you can get exclusively through Patreon. We talked about how recently in hard times when things are a little stressful or sad, you feel overworked, you can lighten the load by just saying something very sad, but ending it with yeehaw.
Yeah, just a little kind of pick me up pep Woo! Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So was that what the aliens were doing when they came down to Ed? They were really stressed and they were like, we've come from another planet. Zihas. You know, is that their yeeha?
Yeah.
We don't
Why
know.
Why do they speak in Spanish? We never got to the bottom of that. Wouldn't they say yeehaw in Spanish? What is that?
Ziha, maybe. I don't know. That's just some of the fun, silly, behind-the-scenes content that you can get over on Patreon on the after party. You can also get bonus episodes, shout-outs at the end of the podcast. But of course, one of the other best ways to support the show is a great way to have a nice night out, and that's to come see This Paranormal Life live!
Ooh.
We are performing all across the United States and Canada and Dublin and in the UK also. I believe when this podcast is coming out, we have just begun our tour. Some
true?
Of the shows have already happened.
Wow.
If you came to the shows, I hope you had a good time. If you haven't, then let this be a reminder that we are probably coming to a state in your reasonable proximity. And a reminder for those of you in the UK to get your tickets now for the UK side of the tour, which is happening right around Halloween, the middle of spooky season.
That's right. To repeat, Glasgow, Manchester, London, and Dublin. This October starts the 28th of October, runs through the 2nd. Of November. It is what a cool way to spend Halloween, man, on the road.
Zeeha!
Zeeha!
Can't wait, partner. And of course, as always, at the end of every podcast, we like to shout out some of the people that support us on Patreon, and that's what we're going to do right now. So, thank you to Mothman Saves Lives.
Yeah, I guess he does. I mean, he's a little ineffective about it. You know, he doesn't really like... I don't seem to remember that he kind of alerts the emergency authorities, you know, diverts funds towards life-saving resources.
Yeah.
Or kind of, you know, physically picks people out of the mud of a landslide. I think he more just kind of subtly shows up in the sky.
Yeah.
In the general vicinity of a disaster.
Yeah, yeah. That car's going to explode. And they're like, oh my God, can you fly us out of here? Ooh. I don't know. I had a really big breakfast. I'm just going to... I think that's enough. You guys probably have enough time to get out of here.
Yeah. In how fact, much time do we...
yeah. Oh, wow. God. Oh, boy. I'll tell your parents. Jesus, that's grim.
I'm going to go get lunch.
But Mothman occasionally... Here's the thing. We don't even know about the lives he has saved. What if he, like Iron Man at some point... flew up into space with a nuclear bomb. We didn't even know about it.
Yeah, word.
It's true. So that's Mothman true. Saves lives. I think you're right. Thank you also to... Yes, yes. Wow, someone has created an account for my favorite thing in the entire world. The double yes.
Oh, I didn't even put it together. You're right.
Yes, yes. First name, yes. Second name, yes. Middle name, f*** you.
Okay.
That's the kind of attitude that I like to have on this podcast. Fortunately, today was a no-no. It would have been good if that shout-out had dropped on an episode we were giving it a double yes.
Can you imagine one empowering? It's like that book where the guy said yes for an entire year to everything that happened to him. Imagine how different your life would be if you said yes to everything.
I would die tomorrow.
Yeah.
Probably.
Someone would be like, do you want to smoke crack cocaine? Yes and yes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So, hey, obviously someone said, I dare you to support This Paranormal Life on Patreon. And they said yes twice. And I love to see it. Thank you so much for your support, guys. Thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon and everyone who's coming out to see us on the road as we perform, hopefully in a city near you. We will be back, of course, with all of your Patreon goodies, including bonus episodes and after parties. But for all you paranormal fans out there, we will see you next week for another paranormal tale. Bye-bye. Speaking of Star Wars, I'm giving you a Princess Leia level rebel plan blueprints for the Death Star task.
Ooh, exciting.
Any second now, someone's probably going to ring that doorbell.
Okay.
And it is to deliver a Nintendo Switch 2. Okay. So I'm going to text you the code.
He gets down there. ID or else I walk.
I'll get my boss. He's in the middle of ghosts. Yeah, that should. Let's go, baby!
There he is! DTN64! Oh my god! It's his help!
Damn, that's... what a f***ing weird day. This...